Well, good morning, church family. It is a pleasure seeing you all this morning. And this, I believe, is our fourth Sunday online worship, and it's our fourth dynamic of how we're doing the filming. But anyway, more than anything, our prayer for you this morning is that you truly would sense our Heavenly Father's love that He has for you, that Jesus would be glorified in your life, and that Holy Spirit would continue to work in and through you for the glory of Jesus. And on behalf of our whole church family, I want to welcome you this morning. We are so glad that you've tuned in and that you're worshiping with us this morning. And also, too, I want to thank Angie and our worship team for leading us to the throne this morning. What a privilege we have. As it was said earlier in the worship service, we are now in what we call Paschal season or Easter season. This is the first Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, and we are starting a new sermon series. And for a quick little review, leading up to Holy Week and to Resurrection Sunday, we were looking at and talking about and studying the seven sayings on the cross, the things that Jesus said while He was hung on the cross. Last week, He declared right before He died, "It is finished." Well, today we're starting a new sermon series on one of the greatest sermons many of you know that Jesus ever preached. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So I want to invite you right now to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at something called the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. But before we look at this passage here, this first sermon that Jesus gave here in these chapters, I have a question for you. And here's my question. Have you ever heard the phrase, "bless your heart"? What about this one? "Oh, bless his heart. Oh, bless her heart." Have you ever heard that? Well, I grew up in Jackson, Tennessee. I was kind of a southern boy. My parents were from Ohio, so in many ways, I kind of felt like I was on the outside looking in, but I learned a lot of the southernisms that was going on. But after high school, I went up to college up in Chicago, was there for 5 years, and then moved down to Mexico, and my family and I were there for almost 20 years. And 5 years ago, we moved back here to Nashville. So it was almost 25 years of not having lived in the South. And so I lost and forgot a lot of the Southern culture. And one of the things that I've had to learn again was that phrase, "oh, bless his heart." Now, is that really a blessing? What are we really saying with that phrase? Well, I've looked up a couple things online, and I want to read something. Because the saying, "oh, bless your heart," it might sound sweet as homemade apple pie, but to be honest, it's like super sour candy that is slightly dipped in sugar. Because this is what we're really saying with that phrase, "bless your heart." You're pitiful, and you did something that you shouldn't have, and you knew better, but you did it anyway. Well, today we're going to look at the Beatitudes, where Jesus uses that word, "blessed," "blessed are," "blessed are," "blessed are," and Jesus is not a southerner. He truly is declaring who is blessed. Who are the blessed ones? He declares it, He describes it, and then He gives the promises and the assurances. So here in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, I want to invite you to please stand for the reading of God's word. This is what it says. When He saw the crowds, He went up on the mountain. And after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. Then He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, that it is living, it is active, It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Speak to us now and bring encouragement and strength and conviction and transformation through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I've done in the past couple weeks, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to speak briefly, and then we're going to go back to some song and worship, and then I'll come back again for a second half of the sermon. But right here in Matthew chapter 5, here's a little bit of the context before we dive into this passage. Jesus is just starting his ministry. He was a carpenter. He was raised as the carpenter's son. His father, Joseph, trained him to be a carpenter, and that was his line of work for many years. But then at about the age of 29, he became a rabbi, and he was like no other rabbi that Israel had ever seen. He began calling his disciples to follow him, and he began to teach and preach around the Sea of Galilee. And he preached with authority and power. For those of you who have been with us for this past year, last year we looked at the Gospel of Mark, and we saw that where Jesus was preaching with authority and with power, he was giving true living water, and the people flocked to him. But more than that, Jesus was bringing healing. He was healing the lame. He was opening up the eyes of the blind. He was healing the deaf where they could hear. He was raising people from the dead. He was expelling demons from people, setting them free. And so people were drawn to him like bugs at night, drawn to a light. And the multitudes began to follow him. And it says here in verse 1, where Jesus saw the crowds, so he climbed a mountain. That wasn't some huge mountain like the Rockies. It was a big hill. He climbed the mountain, and then he sat down, because back in that culture, the teachers and the rabbis, they would sit when they would teach. And he began to teach his disciples. Now, very quickly, we just read the Beatitudes, and I want to share quickly what the Beatitudes are. So like a quick drive-by, vroom. The Beatitudes are not a long checklist of to-dos that Jesus is calling us to obey in order to be a good Christian. By no means. The Beatitudes are the characteristics and qualities of a believer, of those who are in the kingdom of Jesus. It's a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. We can't work hard to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit does that work. Our role and our job is to abide in Christ. And when we abide in Jesus, these blessed Beatitudes, these blesseds that Jesus shares, they will naturally flow out of us because the power of the Holy Spirit is working in and through us, and he produces that work in us. So I want you to hear, when you see these Beatitudes here, don't think of it as another list, as another heavy burden of legalism that you have to fulfill in order to please God. He's calling you and he's calling me to love and serve him, to follow him, and to allow his Spirit to empower us so that these truths are truly lived out in our lives and what we say and what we do and our heart attitudes. Also, I want you to know that Jesus declares these Beatitudes. He declares the truth. Then he gives a brief explanation of what blessed is. And then he declares what will happen and how it characterizes those people. But here's my question too. What does blessed mean? For some people, they think it just means being happy, being content. And there is a little bit of happiness to it, but it is so much more than just being happy. It is this deep peace, this shalom peace, this deep contentment that only Holy Spirit can give us because our relationship with our Heavenly Father has been made complete through the power and person and work of Jesus Christ. And when we abide in him, allowing him to flow and live through us, we will see these Beatitudes lived out in our lives because of him, not because of us.
Morning, my name is James, Chinese name Jiang Xiaobo. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. I'll be reading in Chinese Mandarin. Let's stand for the reading for God's Word.
但他看见这些群众，就上了山， 既已坐下，门徒到他跟前来。 他就开口教训他们说， 邻里贫穷的人有福了， 因为诸天的国是他们的。 哀痛的人有福了， 因为他们必得安慰。温柔的人有福了，因为他们必承受地土。饥渴慕义的人有福了，因为他们必得饱足。
怜悯的人有福了，因为他们必蒙怜悯。清心的人有福了，因为他们必看见神。制造和平的人有福了，因为他们必称为神的儿子。为义受逼迫的人有福了，因为诸天的国是他们的。人若因我的缘故辱骂你们，逼迫你们，捏造各样坏话毁谤你们，你们就有福了。应当喜悦欢腾，因为你们在诸天之上的赏赐是大的。原来在你们以前的伸言者，人也是这样逼迫他们。马太福音第五章第一节至第十二节。You may be seated.
Well, James, I want to thank you for reading scripture. And one of the things that I miss most and love so dearly about our church congregation is the multicultural and all the nationalities are represented. We sang just a song just a moment ago in English, Spanish, and Chinese, and then we just read the scriptures in Chinese. But it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So if you happen to have closed your Bible, I want to ask you and invite you to open your Bibles back up to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And just a little bit ago, we were looking at the context of this sermon. And one of the things that Matthew is doing here, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, is the most Jewish of all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the most Jewish. He quotes more than any other Gospels, the Old Testament. And what he's doing, he's trying to show to the Jewish people that Jesus truly is the Messiah. And right here in Matthew, he's connecting Jesus with Moses of the Old Testament. You see, Moses was the greatest leader of the Old Testament. He led people out of Egypt, through the desert, to the promised land. And he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. Well, here in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, there's actually five teachings, five sermons that Jesus is doing. So Matthew is connecting Jesus back to the Old Testament as the Messiah. And he's showing that even though Moses was a faithful servant, Jesus is the faithful Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one who's to come. And here in Matthew, as he begins with the Beatitudes in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now you have to remember again, blessed does not just mean being happy. Several months ago, a movie came out called Jumanji 2. And our family loved Jumanji, the first one. So when this came out, my three kids, they couldn't wait to see it. And my wife and I, we kind of hemmed and hawed about when we were going to go. And one day I got home from work. It had been out for about a week. And I told Christy, let's go. So we told our kids, and you would have thought that they won $1 million each. They went bonkers running around the house all excited, putting on the clothes. And we took off and we went to see the movie. Now, they were happy. They were excited. But that's not what blessed truly means. Again, remember, being blessed and blessed is that deep, deep contentment and satisfaction that only comes through our relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. So real quickly, we're going to go really quickly through these Beatitudes. There are 8 or 9 Beatitudes, depending on how you read each of these. But let's look at these very quickly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, poor in spirit does not mean poverty of financial lack. Poor in spirit, what poor in spirit means, it is those who recognize their need for God. The kingdom of God belongs to those who truly realize that they are in need of a savior, of forgiveness, and of new life that can only be found through Jesus Christ. They're poor in spirit. They know that they have nothing without God. The second one is this, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, many of us right now are going through a lot of mourning. We have lost a lot, what our life was like. Some of us have lost friends and loved ones to the COVID virus, and we mourn that loss. So I want to encourage you during this time, mourn well with what you've lost. It is okay, because look at God's promises here, for they will be comforted. But this mourning that Jesus is talking about, it's more than just mourning a loss of something or someone. This is truly a lament, a grief of great sorrow for their own sin, for their own brokenness, and for the sin of the nation and of the people. When we mourn and grieve for our sin, God will comfort us. Verse 5, as we move along, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Another word for this humble is meek, M-E-E-K. Have you ever heard that word, meek? What comes to mind? Unfortunately, for most of us, when we hear the word meek, what comes to mind is weak. Not a week of 7 days, but weak as in fragile, not strong. But let me tell you something right now. Meek is one of the greatest qualities that anyone could ever have. Jesus was the most meek person to ever live, because being meek is having power under control with great humility. Why do I say Jesus was the most meek who's ever lived? Because here we have God incarnate, the all-powerful one, and he's standing before Pilate. He's been falsely accused, and Pilate declares to him as he questions him, and he says, "Don't you know that I have the power to kill you or to set you free? Why won't you answer?" And Jesus responds very humbly and with meekness, "You would have no power over me if it wasn't given to you from on high." So Jesus says, blessed are those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Number 6, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We talk a lot about this here, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. What comes to mind is a very parched land that desires water. Here in Tennessee, it's rained so much this year, it's been crazy. Our land right now does not thirst and hunger for water. But if you've ever been in a desert, ever lived in a desert, or if you've ever taken a very dry sponge that is so dry it falls apart, but you put it in water and it soaks it up. Do you have that earnest yearning for God's righteousness? Jesus declares, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will overflow with Holy Spirit in his presence. Verse 7, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. What is mercy? It's withholding a just punishment that someone deserves. God is merciful because he doesn't punish us for what we deserve and what we should receive, but he withholds it. Mercy. We are called to be merciful, and those who are merciful are blessed. And what that means about being merciful, it's to have a deep concern and love and sorrow for the well-being and plight of others. It's to have compassion and empathy and desiring that others prosper and are reconciled and are walking in grace and victory in their lives. Jesus then goes on to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Purity. I've heard a phrase, it's sincerity without hypocrisy. What is good, what is holy, what is right, what is just. Jesus then goes on to say in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Many people think that peace is the absence of conflict. True peace has the presence of justice, reconciliation, and forgiveness. When Jesus talks about being a peacemaker, he's asking, he's declaring, it's actively promoting right relationships, first with our Heavenly Father, then with one another. The peacemakers are those who desire reconciliation, forgiveness to be asked and to be given back and forth, first with God, and also with one another. Jesus then goes on, and this is where the last beatitude is. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He then goes on into verse 11 and 12. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you. Why? Because of me, because of Jesus. Scripture is very clear. Jesus was persecuted, and no servant is greater than their master. And if our master was persecuted here on this earth, we, his followers, we will be persecuted. Paul declared to Timothy that if anyone wants to live a righteous, holy life, they will be persecuted. So I want to encourage you, some of you know this firsthand, but if you're living a godly, holy, righteous life, you will be persecuted because this world hates you for being a lover and follower of Jesus. But Jesus commands us here in verse 12 to be glad and to rejoice when people revile us, when they persecute us, because our reward will be great. Our Heavenly Father will receive us with embrace. So in closing, there's a couple of things I want to challenge you with. When we talk about blessed are, it's not that Southern saying of, oh, bless his heart, or oh, bless your heart, which is really kind of a curse, saying you're dumb. No, no, no. When Jesus shares these Beatitudes and teaches them, he's truly sharing and showing us what are the qualities and characteristics of those of his kingdom. So here's my question for you. I wanted to focus on three of these, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you some homework. Here it is. The first thing is this. Read this passage every day this week. Start today. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Read these 12 verses every day. Spend 5 minutes meditating on these Beatitudes. And here's my question for you. Which one is God speaking to you about? Don't try in your own strength to be able to try to obey these Beatitudes. Ask Holy Spirit to empower you and abide in Jesus so that you can walk in these characteristics and qualities of the Beatitudes of truly being blessed will naturally flow out of you like water flows out of a spring out in the desert, in the mountains. Jesus gives living water. That living water is his Spirit, and his Spirit will produce the Beatitudes in your life and mine. I want to invite you now to stand as we close with more worship. May your eyes be fixed on Jesus as we worship him. God bless.